Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's up? It's Thursday, December 5th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. Week 14 coming at us today. And just a few things to cover on the podcast today. We'll keep it brief. Tomorrow we'll do the full preview of the remaining games on the slate, and I will talk about Thursday Night Football tomorrow on the podcast. Last week I didn't because there were three games, and I wanted to keep it quick because I knew time was at a premium for a lot of folks last week. I mean, it always is, but especially last week with the holidays. Anyway, before I get into things, make sure you're checking out FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off on any subscription over there, higher than the core level subscription. Well worth the price of admission. And the beauty is you get it for an entire year. So if you sign up today, you get it straight on through early December. I was about to say mid-December. We're not there yet. Early December next year, 365 days. Okay, so I want to get into a bit of a strategy topic to start the podcast today, because you're almost certainly in one of three scenarios right now. And strategy really kind of applies to, well, two of the three. One of them, it's just a mindset thing. But you're either win and get in, lose and don't make the playoffs, right? That's one scenario. You are already in, locked in, maybe you already have a bye, or you've made the playoffs. This is only coming down to seeding, or heck, maybe you already have like the three seed and it's just there's not much to play for this week. Or you didn't make the playoffs and you're out of it. If you're listening to this podcast, well, maybe you're in the playoff hunt in other leagues. But to the folks who, let's start with that group first. If you didn't make the playoffs and this is the last week of your regular season, you know, the season's over for you next week, you're not in it, why not just be a jerk? And I don't mean be a jerk as in I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I'm going to drop all of my players. No, I don't mean that type of jerk. I mean, play the spoiler role, right? Your game is still going on. I had somebody hit me up on Twitter and said, my league is angry at me. I'm in 11th place. I'm not making the playoffs. But I picked up Garendo last night. Fair or foul? And I said, totally fair. It's if you're still in it this week, right? Your playoffs haven't started yet. You're still in the regular season. Totally fair. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if it was next week or if your playoffs already started and you're not in the playoffs and you make waiver moves, that's where I think it's a foul because you have no reason to make waiver moves. Even if you have a consolation ladder, like those are kind of silly, but those folks should just play without waivers because really waivers is there for the folks competing for the championship, right? That's all that really matters when it's all said and done. Even if you have last place penalties, I really don't care. There's no reason to impact the integrity of the playoffs. But in week 14, if your regular season is going on, you're not impacting the integrity. In fact, it would be the other way around. If you didn't make waiver moves, then, you know, that kind of hands those guys to the other folks. And I don't know how great that is. So no foul whatsoever. Be the jerk. Try and play spoiler. Try and knock somebody out of the playoff picture or, you know, change somebody's seating. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But then next week, game's over. All right, whatever. I'm not a consolation ladder guy, by the way. The NFL doesn't, they're not telling the New York Giants, all right, guys, get ready to suit up for the consolation game in, you know, mid-January. Like, they're not doing that. So I don't see why we need to as well. And I know people like it, but the reality is you're playing for nothing for the most part. You're playing for a playoff seed. You're playing to avoid sitting in Waffle House for 24 hours or whatever. In all of my leagues where we have last place penalties, we always base that on the regular season standings because, you know, that's how the NFL does it. I mean, they don't have a penalty. They actually reward the last place team, but same idea. All right, so then let's move to the teams who have already clinched a postseason berth, whether you got a bye or not. Technically speaking, you're really not playing for much of anything this week in terms of winning. Like, even if you lose, whatever, you still get in, especially if you already clinched a bye. Well, I still want to be a jerk there. You know, I have a home league where I am in, and I think my seeding can change, but still, I'm in. I'm not going to have a bye, so I'm definitely playing in week 15. Now, the team I am playing, if they beat me, they are in. Nothing impacts me. Like, I think I'd go from the 4 to the 5 seed or something like that, right? Doesn't really impact me. I'm still going to be playing next week regardless. But if I beat them, their season is done. Guess what I'm going to try and do? You know, like, I'm going to be a jerk here. There's nothing wrong with playing to the whistle. And, you know, I've had some people say, well, what if, you know, what if, let's say, if you lose, your seeding would work out so that you face a worse team in the first round of the playoffs or something to that effect, right? Somehow tanking this week would actually improve your chances next week. I don't like to do that move because that is tempting fate. And I've learned playing this game that you may think you're going up against a bad team. Like in that league, I played the worst team in the league last week who started Jerry Jeudy and Jameis Winston against me. So you can imagine how well I did. I did not win that game. Like even the worst teams can put up big weeks in fantasy football. So I don't want to tempt fate. I'm not going to do anything cute there. I'm going to play to the whistle. I'm going to try and win this week. And especially if I'm in a situation where I can be a jerk, I'm going to be a jerk. Now, last and not least, in fact, probably the most important, to the teams who need to win to get in. I know that pressure does a lot of strange things to people when it comes to fantasy football. It causes them to make decisions they ordinarily wouldn't make. It causes them to dream up strategies that maybe ordinarily they wouldn't, or certainly if they looked at it close enough, would realize that they don't work. The number one thing that I will hear is, should I play player X because my opponent is playing player Y? Here's an example. My opponent is starting Tyreek Hill. I have Tua Tagovailoa, but he is my second quarterback. My other quarterback is ranked higher. Should I start Tua Tagovailoa to negate my opponent, to neutralize my opponent? And the answer is, who you start has no bearing on how your opponent's players score. Because you start Tua Tagovailoa does not change what Tyreek Hill is going to do. And it actually could be very detrimental to you, because let's say that you start Tua, and both Tua and Tyreek crap the bed. So ordinarily, you would have an advantage there, regardless of what Tua does, because Tua's on your bench. You'd have an advantage because Tyreek crapped the bed. Now you've just hurt yourself, and you know how this works. The quarterback who you didn't start will put up 28 points, 30 points, whatever, on your bench, right? It always works that way. There is no defense in fantasy football. We can't defend our opponents. We can't. This isn't one-on-one basketball or something like that. We can't D them up. There is no defense in fantasy football. There is only offense. And yes, I know the like snarky person out there is going to be like, well, what about team defense, Jeff? All right. I'm talking about defending your opponent, not team defense as a position. You can't defend your opponent. There's no way to do so. All we can do is set our lineups in a way that gives us the, you know, maximizes our potential of scoring the most points out of our lineup. That's all we can do. No defense, only offense. So who your opponent starts does not matter. It does not change our objective to maximize the potential out of our rosters. Starting an opponent or a player based on who our opponent has never works. You know, it's flawed logic, flawed reasoning. And it's one of those old school ideas, like, you know, these are armchair ideas, you know, armchair scholars from the 1800s who sat, you know, very wealthy people in their comfortable dens and comfortable armchairs and just thought up ideas about things. And most of the time, their ideas were crap, right? Well, this is an armchair idea. It's a crappy idea and it doesn't work. What works is sitting there looking at our roster and starting the guys who give us the best chance of scoring the most points. That's it. That's the same objective in week 1, week 7, week 10, week 14. It's the same objective if we have a playoff spot locked in, we're completely out of the playoffs, or we need to win and get in. It's always the same. And if we treat it the same, we treat the decisions the same, we have a process for making decisions, we're not going to be right 100% of the time. I don't want to kid you. I'm not going to come on here and be like, yeah, you're going to be right all the time. No, you're not. I'm not. Nobody is. If they ever tell you they are, they're liars. They're full of it. They're completely full of it because nobody is. But the objective with a process and doing the same thing week in and week out, regardless of situation, regardless of opponent, regardless of any of that stuff, we're going to be right more then we're wrong if the process is good. And I will tell you, using the highest ranked guys is a darn good process. Now, the other thing I want to pass along, and this is something I talked about on the FTN podcast a little bit yesterday. Don't worry about the projected box scores. Seriously, don't worry about them. I've seen more people make pretty bad fantasy mistakes based on projected box scores than maybe anything else out there. People will look, they'll say I'm an underdog, they'll say, and I quote, I need upside, I need to swing for the fences, and they will make a bad start-sit decision as a result. Don't worry about the projected box scores. Projected box scores are really just eye candy. That's all they really are. Even with, like, you know, ESPN, I have mad respect for ESPN's projections because they're done by my colleague, former colleague at PFF, Mike Clay, one of my best friends in the industry. I have mad respect for him, but I still wouldn't use them. Heck, if they were my projections, I wouldn't use them. I'm not worried about projected box scores. What I'm worried about is my lineup only. That's it. And putting the most points on the board I possibly can, squeezing it, maximizing it, knowing that, yeah, sometimes it's not going to happen. Every so often you do get a dude on your bench who goes off. You Nick Westbrook Akine on your bench last week goes off. Okay, big deal. That's going to happen. Not even that he went out for that much, but big deal. That's going to happen. But we still want to stick to the process. Don't be lured in by projections. And that goes for the other side as well. Like, if you think you're a favorite, like, I would not worry about those. I would just worry about doing the same things we always do to get to this point. All right. Little bit of words of wisdom there, I suppose. All right. So let's get to some of the injury intel here. First and foremost, let's talk Trevor Lawrence. So yeah, he's going to season-ending injury reserve. After he clears concussion protocol, he will undergo season-ending surgery on that left shoulder. And, you know, for the long term, I mean, short term here, Mac Jones, he'll be fringe super flex worthy. We'll see how he does this week. But for the long term with Lawrence, like, I wouldn't be panicking at all in Dynasty. I'll say this about him. He has not reached the level of play that maybe we had once hoped for him. But I don't think we're done yet. He did come into the league very young. And, you know, obviously, anytime you get a best quarterback prospect since, when they throw that out there, the expectations are going to be high. And he has not reached the expectations. But he's also had a deck stacked against him. Started in the Urban Meyer regime. Yikes. And then the Doug Peterson regime, like, Doug got him to another level, but not beyond that level. Like, he got him to the second level. And then that's kind of it. And we've plateaued from there. Now, Lawrence is starting caliber. I don't have any worries there. But I would love to see them get in a coach. And that ideally would be head coach, but heck, it could be an offensive coordinator. The only problem with those guys is if they're really good, they go. But a coach who can work with him and hopefully take him to that next level. Like, I would love it if he was with Dave Canales or Kevin O'Connell or somebody like that. But obviously those aren't going to happen. But can we get somebody into Jacksonville who can do that? I don't know, but that would be the next step there for him. Deontay Johnson, okay, so he is suspended for one game. Conduct detrimental to the team for not going into the game last week. Yikes. I'm not going to do the Antonio Brown comparison thing. I think that's just lazy. I think this is a weird situation. Why wouldn't you want to play? Like, you went from the Carolina Panthers to a team that, if it gets hot, could go to the Super Bowl. Like, crazy. And you don't want to play? I don't know what's going on here, but I've had a lot of jerks. Like, I get jerks all the time. And, like, chances are if you listen to this podcast, you're not one of those folks. Like, it seems like the he hate me crowd, the folks who really despise me but listen to the show religiously, like, those are radio show listeners, not podcast listeners. Like, this is a little bit of a different vibe. But anyway, like, there are, like, a number of jerks out there, like, would you drop him now? And it's like, dude, like, calm down, first and foremost. Like, I guess that makes you feel better. But why I said when he initially went to the Ravens, like, the first 2 weeks when he didn't produce, why I said I was still holding is because I wanted to wait and see. There's nothing wrong with that. And to be honest, like, do you really need some ding-dong with a podcast and radio show's approval to drop a player? If you don't want to roster a player, don't roster the player. However, my advice always, and this is regardless of Deontay Johnson or anybody, I'm not dropping somebody just to drop them. I have to have somebody better to pick up. And there are some instances where, yeah, it's very clearly there's a better player, so you make that move. There are other instances where there aren't. Now, in the case of Deontay Johnson right now, I'd find it hard to believe there isn't somebody better to add, but you have to have somebody better, you know, to make any drop add. So plain and simple there. Gotta love those jerks, huh? All right, so quickly running through some of the remainder of the injury report here. Ladd McConkey limited on Wednesday. That is a good sign for him. I expect him to play. Tyreek Hill didn't practice, but it was a rest day. Mike Evans didn't practice. I also expect that to be a rest day. Devontae Smith practicing in full, so he'll be back. A lot of injuries for the Bears. DJ Moore, quad, not practicing. Keenan Allen, ankle, not practicing. Roshan Johnson, concussion, not practicing. DeAndre Swift, quad, not practicing. Okay, so it's the first practice of the week. We don't know. Keep an eye on this today. Even if they go DNP today, like the only one who the DNP would be bad for would be Roshan, because that means he's not going to clear protocol. And I think that may happen because this is his second concussion of the season. I expect Swift to play. I expect him to have a big, big, big workload because they have nobody else really who can do much there. Travis Homer, like not much else. I don't know about Allen and Moore, but I'm not panicking right now. You know, we need 3 days of practice. It's weird there right now with the regime change and everything too. So let's just see what happens through the week. Hope for the best, plan for the worst. Cedric Tillman in concussion protocol still. That doesn't bode well for him because he already missed a game due to it. And that concussion was pretty nasty. So don't plan on him back. Bucky Irving not practicing yesterday. That seems like it's we're going to ramp him up type of DNP because he did come back into the game last week and had a monster performance after the injury. Breece Hall not practicing yesterday. Same thing as last week, not worried there. Alexander Mattison limited. Now, why I bring him up, I don't know what's going to happen with this backfield. Like if I was Antonio Pierce, honestly, and this isn't even Jeff being a fantasy person, it's just I want to see what I get, what I have for football purposes. I would probably give Sincere McCormick a huge run, but I'm not Antonio Pierce. And they have five running backs on their active roster now. You have Mattison and White, both banged up. You have Abdullah, who's been the lead the last couple weeks. You have Laube, and now you have Sincere McCormick. So it's all over the place. Sincere McCormick was worth a deep league dart, and that's about it for me. Last thing here on the injury front, Dallas Goedert not practicing yesterday. There's still the chance he goes to short-term IR, and where I think the Eagles may have tipped their hand, they did sign CJ Uzama to the active roster. So don't be surprised if Goedert goes to IR. For him, it would be a short-term thing, but here's the thing. For us, that would be the end of the fantasy season. You go to IR this week, you're done. 4 weeks, we have 4 weeks left, and some of us, a lot of us may not get to all of those 4 weeks. One other quick note, actually, let me give you two. So Drew Lock is going to start this week. That's not a big one. He should be able to get the ball enough to Malik Nabers, and that's all I really care about. Patrick Taylor signed to the from the practice squad to the active roster for the 49ers. They did sign Izzy Abanikanda, but I think Patrick Taylor is actually the number two. And why I think this is not confirmed by the 49ers, but why I think this is he's been on the roster. He doesn't have to get up to speed. And he has actually appeared in, was it one or two games? So regardless, he's been on the roster. So you have Garendo as the number one, Taylor likely the number two. I don't hate it if you picked up Abanikanda in deeper leagues, though, because obviously you get a little bang for your buck. He's actually really well suited to this offense. Like his overall style works well. So that'll be interesting to see. All right, that is going to wrap it up for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with a preview of the remaining games on the slate. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on X, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.